morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to our morning worship service. Great to see you all here. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We praise you that we will be remembering his death again by partaking of the Lord's table in just a little while. We praise you for his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, and that through his shed blood, through faith alone in him alone, we are saved and on our way to heaven. We praise you for that gift. And we pray for all those here today, that if there are any that have come today that don't know Jesus yet as their Savior, that they'll put their trust in him before they leave today. And for all of us who know him, we pray that he will be our vision anew. As we hear your word proclaimed today, as we worship through these songs, as we pray together, and as we fellowship afterwards, we pray that our hearts by your Spirit will be drawn closer to you. May our vision be all the more clear of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we may glorify him, proclaim his gospel, and draw closer to him, to you, and to one another as we fellowship this morning. We give you thanks and praise for all these things and commit them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It all fits together. Okay, now, I know it's a little lengthy, but you're not going anywhere, are you? Chapter 10 of Acts. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel who spoke to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went up and upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, for while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the Lord spake unto him again the second time, What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men who were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who were sent from unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you're come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that feared God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send to thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, the next day, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said to them, You know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa. Call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did before, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Excuse me. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today in this wonderful chapter in the book of Acts. It speaks so eloquently who you are and our need of you. Oh Lord, we pray, thank you for this precious word, and pray that we will each one seek to know you in this way. And may the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, be glorified in all that we do and say today. We just thank you so much for all the blessings that we enjoy. We do pray, our Father, that you will bless each one who has come today. Speak to our hearts and teach us what we need to know. In a little while, we're going to have communion. And Lord, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary, dying in our place that we might have everlasting life. And I pray this morning, dear Lord, that you will just bless each one of us and make sure that we have that realization in our hearts and minds. I pray, dear Father, for those who are sick today, that you will undertake for them and meet their needs and bring them back to us shortly. And we pray for those who are having other difficulties, that you might just watch over them and keep them and undertake for them in a very special way. Thank you so much for all your goodness. We do thank you, our Father, for our country. We just celebrated the 4th of July and the Independence Day, and we just rejoice that we live in a free country. And we pray that it might never be so. Oh God, we pray that your will would be done in the coming days and the election and all the rest. We just pray that it will work out for the glory of God. We just pray your holy will be done. Thank you for every good and perfect gift that you give us. Lead us and guide us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, let's turn once again to Acts chapter 10. This is one of the most important chapters in the book of Acts because the gospel is presented to the Gentiles for the very first time. You remember Jesus had given it to Peter back in, we have it in Matthew chapter 16, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And Peter used those keys to open the door of faith to the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost. You remember, there were all Jewish people there, and he preached the gospel, and there were a great number of them that were added to the church. And now, here in this chapter, we find that God himself has called Peter to go and to proclaim the gospel to these Gentile people. Cornelius, a Roman centurion, and one who already had renounced his old gods and was following after, to a degree at least, the God of Israel and Jehovah God. And now, God speaks to him through this angel. He comes in a vision and gives him the message. But you notice he's not saved by what he does. It talks about his almsgiving and how he loves God to a certain degree and all this, but he needs something more. That's the reason that God spoke to him in a very definite way and said, go call for Simon Peter, he'll give you the true message. Right? He needed the gospel. You know, because we're not saved by works. We're not saved by anything that we do. I mean, we have to be born again. Jesus said that. You have to be born again. And you have to be saved by the grace of God. And so, this is what Peter is going to go and do. But first of all, you see these visions. Cornelius got one first, right? And then Peter had to be spoken to as well, right? Because he was a good Jewish man. And you know, all these years, salvation is out of the Jews, right? That's what it says. And it came through the teachings of the scriptures, all the Old Testament and all. And Peter and the other disciples were still highly influenced by this method. And they had to realize that God had something else in mind. He is no respecter of persons. He's reaching out to the whole world, right? And he told, you know, in the Great Commission, Jesus told the disciples, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Right? So, this is the message. This is what we all have to embrace. He talks about that here in his message. We see how he God spoke to him and told him to go, and he was obedient. You know, this is one of the, I wish I had a lot of time. I don't. But this is a great vision that Peter gets. You know, here's this Jewish man following the kosher way of living, you know, the diets and all that they followed and everything. And God sends down this sheep with all these kinds of animals on that, clean and unclean all together. And it's Peter, all right, go ahead, Peter, you're hungry. Rise up and go eat. Huh? Now Peter says, Lord, not so. Now isn't that a contradiction right there? He says, Lord, not so. You can't do that. You're either, you know, it's one or the other. He's either the Lord, or you have to yield to him. And so he saw this sheep, all these animals and everything, and he had to be convinced. God did it three times. Gave him his vision. Three times he saw this, and finally he realized that God is telling him to go and to proclaim the gospel to these Gentile people. So here we find God is preparing on both ends. He spoke to Cornelius first, and then he spoke to Peter, using these visual aids, let's put it that way. Huh? He spoke to them in this very special way, using these various means to get his attention and to send him forth to proclaim this message. It came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Then he had to obey what God told him to do. And notice here, Cornelius lived in Caesarea, which was about 30 miles away from where Peter was. So it took him quite a while to get there, right? And then he sent these messengers there to get Peter, and then they went on their trip to Caesarea, about 30 miles away from Joppa. And this was the headquarters of the Roman government, where all of the officials were and everything there in Caesarea. And a centurion was there named Cornelius. He was one who was seeking to follow after the true God, but he still needed the true message of salvation, as we see here. And he had this vision. The angel came in and said, send Simon. Then we see Peter's message. He said, overcome your presence. You know, I know, Peter says in one place, he says, it's not lawful for a man that's a Jew to go into the house of a Gentile. Oh, he's unclean. God says, don't call anybody common or unclean. And so we have to realize that overcome the prejudices that you have. And go ahead and do what God tells you to do. That's what he's saying here to Peter. And so he's going to deliver this message. And Peter's sermon. Here, let's look at verse 34. We'll look at that. What Peter had to say. And I said it already. The first first thing he said was, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. You know, we're not supposed to choose who we preach to or who we witness to or who we share with. What did he say? Whosoever will may come. They need to hear the message. And it says that they can't come unless they hear the message of Christ. So that's what we need to deliver to them when we have the opportunity. Tell them this is the way to put your faith and trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior. And here we find Peter's sermon. God is no respecter of persons. He's ready to receive anyone who will come to him in the right way, putting his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about in Sunday school, as one brother Steve brought out, about the fact that we must believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal God. Right? He's not only a man, he is a man. Yes. But God became man. Right? And he is God himself. And I know we don't understand it that well. Sometimes it's hard to grasp all the scriptures that we have. But it definitely teaches us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through
him. Amen.
What's it? And so this man had to come through Jesus. Even though he was a good man in his own way of thinking, even though he gave liberally to the Jewish synagogue and all the rest, that wasn't this. You know, it doesn't matter how much we give or don't give, how much, whatever else we do. The way we're saved is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have salvation through him. And he's the only one, Jesus is the only one, who can give true peace to the troubled heart. He's the only one that can save us. He is Lord of all. I guess Luke must have stuck that in there. In verse 36, it's in parentheses. He is Lord of all. Jesus Christ. And he's the one who brings peace to the heart of those who need to hear it. So, he died in our place, he mentioned here. He died in our place on the cross. He came to his people and they rejected him. They slew him and hanged him on a tree. And you have what to say. God raised up the third day and showed him over. And there it is. The resurrection. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ came forth from the grave. You know, the ladies went there on Sunday morning expecting to anoint his body. Right? Only when they got there, what happened? The stone was rolled away. And they went in and they said, hey, he's not here. And then the angel spoke to him, right? He's not here. He's risen as he said. Okay. And then they took the message from there. And from then on, that's the main emphasis that we see here among the apostles and the other Christians. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. And he arose again. And he's living today. And someday, what? He's coming again.
Amen.
Yes. He is coming again. You say, well, boy, it's been a long time, hasn't it? It has. But God's clock doesn't run like ours, does it? It's not always on the same wavelength. But we are waiting and watching and looking for him to come. And when he comes, he's going to take his people to be with himself. And here we find Jesus is going to come again. We are witnesses of all this and know that it is true, Peter. Peter was there with him the whole time, right? 3.5 years, along with the other disciples. He saw it happen over and over again. He saw what Jesus did. and he saw everything, and he knew that he was. You know, in fact, Jesus asked him, who did men say that I am? And they said, oh, John the Baptist, somebody else, one of the prophets. And he said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Son of God, right? Thou art the Son of the living God. And here we have, he knew who he was serving. And we are serving the same God today. He's still living, right? He's still living. And we're going to celebrate in a little while what he did for us on the cross of Calvary and how we have eternal life through him. So here, he's going on and on about this. He said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He went about doing good. He was healing, oppressed of the devil. And then he says, we are witnesses of all these things. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. The Lord revealed himself. It says there in one place, there was above 500 at one time that saw him. So I mean, it wasn't that big of a secret. He did rise from the dead, and he did appear to the disciples, appeared to the ladies, he appeared to these 500 people, and God has showed himself to these people. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify that it is he who was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and dead. He's the judge. It says in one place that God, the Father, has consigned all judgment to the Son. He's the Lord. And we have to appear before him and give account of ourselves. He is the judge. And we need to be sure that we are pleasing in his sight. To him give all the prophets witness, all the Old Testament. It's all about Jesus. It's simple as a simple. I know there's a lot of other things there too, but the main story begins and ends with Christ. And he has come to be our Savior. All the prophets witness that through his name, notice, through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Huh? The forgiveness of all of our sins is through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Through his name. There's no other way. You say, well, you're a bigot. Am I a bigot? Not really. No, because that's what the Scripture says. We're here to proclaim what the Scripture says. And he says, whoever believes in him shall receive forgiveness of all their sins. So, how wonderful that is. And poor old Peter, you know, preaching away, and all of a sudden it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. So, God didn't wait for him to finish. They believed in their heart that Jesus was the one that could forgive them of their sins, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, showing that they were the children of God. Now, in this early day, in the book of Acts, we see it's on several occasions. In order to show that it was true, they had special things that would happen. Like here it says they spoke in tongues. And that was to indicate that the Spirit had come and that they were magnifying God in their own language and or in other languages. I'm not sure what the language was. Anybody know what the language was? No, I don't think so. But anyway, it was something that indicated that God had come upon them. Huh? It shows that they were truly believing and that he had saved them. And so Peter says, can anybody forbid that these people be baptized? For forbid water, they should be baptized. They have received, in other words, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. You know, he says, God is no respecter of persons. He came upon the Jewish people, and they were saved. And now he's come upon the Gentile people, and they're saved. And when he comes upon you, you're saved.
Right.
When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Right? And so that's what's happening here. And so he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And we find a little bit later, Peter gets in trouble. Because when he goes back home, those who are in charge, the authorities, say, hey, what are you doing going into the Gentiles? You know that's from there. And he has to explain all that. We'll get to that eventually. But anyway, they asked Peter to stay on and to continue to work there for a while longer. So Peter stayed with them several days to teach them how to live as Christians, how to be faithful servants of God. So what a wonderful breakthrough this is to reach the Gentiles with the gospel. We find later, of course, the Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And he develops all this and goes out and establishes all the churches and does such a marvelous work. And our commission today is to preach the gospel to every person, both Jew and Gentile. To spread the good news to everyone in every possible way, that they might know that they have eternal life. You know, this life is wonderful, isn't it? It should be, as we live and live today. But you know, this isn't all there is. When this life is ended, there's a new life that's going to begin. We need to make sure that we truly are ready for that day when it comes. May God help us. Father, we thank you this morning for your word to our hearts, and we pray that your blessing to each one of us, that we might draw closer to you and serve you more fully. We pray for any who may not know Christ as Savior, that somehow you would reveal him to them, that they might put their faith and trust in you. May your holy will be done. We look to you with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I'm just going to go right ahead with this. It's the Lord's Supper. I'm putting everything together here today. But Jesus and the other disciples were meeting together for the last time. They had the last supper, the Passover. And at some point, Jesus took the bread and he says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this and remember. He took the cup. He said, this cup is the New Testament of our blood that is shed for many for the remission of their sins. So that's what we're doing today. We're remembering the Lord Jesus and what he's done for us. Same manner he took the cup when he had suffered, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for many for the remission of their sins.
Father, we're so thankful for your Son. He has took our place, shed his precious blood for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for all the circumstances you've created, Lord, to spread your word and share the gospel around the world. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to walk humbly, walk upright, share the gospel with others that we come into contact with. We pray that you would lead us and help us and guide us. In your name we pray.
Let's all stand once again. And I'll ask Brother Steve if he would like to give us this.
Heavenly Father, we praise you for this hour that we spent together. Thank you for Ken and welcoming her into the fellowship here officially. And thank you that we could gather around the Lord's table, worship you this hour, hear your word from the Holy Father's good glorious Son. We pray that you would strengthen each of us as we head out today. We pray for your safety as we now bless our fellowship as we talk before we leave. We pray that you would bless us all as we come back this evening for service. And we pray that you would use us this week to proclaim the gospel as we hear it so clearly presented again today. May we faithfully proclaim your word as you give us the time and the opportunity. Thank you for your spirit who dwells all of us as believers today. We commit ourselves to you now as we